You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Pacers fans, welcome to the first Locked On Pacers fan show where we can talk with fans of both the pod and the team to get a better reading on the pulse of the fans. I know me and Adam sometimes have this more analytical viewpoint, so having more of the fan perspective on could be really cool. Plus, getting to know our listeners is awesome. As always, I have one of the co-hosts of Locked On Pacers, Tony East, with the West Indianapolis Community News. But before we jump in, just a reminder to leave us a rating on iTunes, Stitcher, whatever you listen on, and a comment even if you want us to do something better or worse, or if you want to be on the show. And if you want to come on the next fan show, just tweet at us at Locked On Pacers or me and Adam at T East NBA at FreedmanAdam5. But yeah, let's just jump right in to our first fan show. All right, Pacers fans, it's the first ever Locked On Pacers fan show. I'm really excited for this because it's new topics, and in the off season, it's fun to talk about some new, more fun stuff and get to know some people. And the first ever fan on the fan shows is Gary Cook. I know very little about Gary, but he tweeted a hilarious story at me, and I'm excited to hear about it firsthand. Gary, before we do anything, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited to be on this show. I'm completely addicted to your podcast. I can't get enough of it. It's awesome.
Oh, I'm glad. That makes me happy. I'm glad we're growing, too. Thank you all to everyone who listens for a lot of growth we had in the summer and the offseason. In midseason, we're posting every day. It's even more fun. But Gary, you get the first round of questions, which everyone's will be the same, but yours will be fresh for everybody. And for you, because you are way older than me and Adam, I would like to know how you became a Pacers fan.
Well, I mean, how many people can tell you that they saw their first naked woman at a Pacers game? I feel like I'm probably in a low percentage of people that can do that. And that's a true story. But I grew up, I mean, when I in Indianapolis, they actually used to play at the fairgrounds. And so every year for my birthday or whatever the case may be, and the Pacers were pretty successful out of the gate when I grew up. And so in the early 70s, they were really a good basketball team. So every year for my birthday, I always wanted to go to the Pacer game. And so and it just so happened I went on St. Patrick's Day, and we actually had floor level seats. So I'm walking into the arena as like a third or fourth grader with my popcorn and hot dog and soda. And this girl painted in all green because it's St. Patrick's Day, drops her coat and comes running straight at me. And lost the popcorn, I lost my mind. I'm like, what just happened here? And I literally, I walked out, and they were at the court level, and Bobby Leonard was just busted over laughing. His face was completely red. I could see him because he was laughing so hard at what just happened. And it was, it's just like, I can't make that up. But yeah, the basketball was just so good out of the gate. George McGinnis, Darnell Hillman was my first ever favorite player. I was always number six because of Darnell Hillman. So I just grew up a Pacers fan. All the venues that they've ever played at. I've been to see them in Miami and Orlando. Just love the Pacers.
That's a great answer. I don't know if anyone will ever top that. We should just cancel our the fan show.
Yeah, the naked woman one. I've got to be in a.
Were your parents there? Did they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, mommy and daddy were right there. And so they did not run interference. I mean, this lady, like, for some reason, like, just beelined it right. I mean, like, full on straight on at me. And so I'm like, I have no idea what, there's too many synapses firing at that point to, like, even figure out what I was. Am I supposed to duck? Am I supposed to look? Am I supposed to cover my eyes, with a handful of popcorn and a hot dog and a soda? Yeah. I think I got some of her green body paint on me. Wow. That was back when streaking was a thing. I don't think you guys do that anymore, but that was like a fad at that point. So
how much do you remember of that day? Did the Pacers win that game?
I have no idea. I really have no idea. My mind just went blank after that. I wasn't sure what I just seen,
Oh, that is an amazing story. Yeah. Well, that could be your answer to my next question, which is all the people are going to get asked this, and I'm hoping for a wide variety on this one, although I kind of feel like with a younger audience in general, we could get some more answers, but you might have a good one. Do you have a favorite Pacers memory in your time as a fan?
I've got three.
And okay.
The first one I was listening, the like as big as the Miami Heat rivalry would be, in the New York Knicks rivalry was. Back in the ABA, the Kentucky Colonels were the hated team. You hated the Kentucky Colonels. I was listening on the radio, and I really wasn't a big Billy Keller fan. I actually met him at Taylor basketball camp later, where he shot a ball over the rafters and made it in the first time. So he's a pretty amazing basketball player, but I was never a fan because he went to Purdue. So the announcers were writing him off. He took a running hook shot at the buzzer and made it. I was listening to the radio on the radio with two of my friends who are big Pacers fans, and we were just like losing our minds that he hit a running hook shot, a three-pointer, to beat the Kentucky Colonels to win. So that's my radio moment. My favorite live moment where I was actually at the game with my man Chuck the Rifleman Person, who when they took him, everybody hated the pick. And I remember like, Chuck Person, who the heck is this guy? And then I immediately, like, he came out and started hanging 18 points on everybody every night. But he was, Jack Ramsey was the coach. And he was a pretty, like, level, e-heeled guy. And so Chuck Person, they were down by two. Chuck Person got the ball and, like, did a fadeaway from 7 to 8 feet behind the three-point line and swished it. Bottomed it out, and Jack Ramsey, who's like the most cool, just like ran out into the floor with his hands up in the air, and the place just went completely bedlam, nuts. And so that, I mean, I can still like remember what that was like to do that and just to be there at that moment. Then my favorite moment on TV was the Reggie Miller choke with Spike Lee, because the game was like, if you don't remember that, they were out of that game. I mean, I was getting ready to go to bed. And they were out of that game, and Reggie just like got that glare, was doing the holster thing, the choke thing to Spike Lee. Absolutely was my favorite TV Pacers moment.
I expect a lot of the choke. I think that'll be a common answer.
Yeah.
To this question. I love the Kentucky Colonels reference. I didn't even know that was a basketball team until you just said.
Yeah, I live in Jacksonville now, and Artis Gilmore actually lives in Jacksonville. And so Artis Gilmore was the Kentucky, I mean, one of the big Kentucky. And so the Indiana-Kentucky rivalry, you know, until they started playing each other in basketball, in college basketball, was just heated all the time, you know, whether it be collegially or professionally. And so the Kentucky Colonels, that was the big hated rivalry for the Pacers back then.
My follow-up to the Chuck Person story is that I have a Chuck Person bobblehead. Oh, and now feels wrong because he is in the middle of an FBI probe. Because of
is
his,
that right?
Yeah, he was one of the coaches who got caught cheating recruiting at Auburn. So he's not looking okay for Chuck Person these days.
I don't believe it. He's too good, man. He would never do that. I love the Rifleman. We should have never traded him. He was great.
So the closing question for all these fan appearances, right? This can be about anything, really. In my head, I thought it would be about like something in the modern game, but it doesn't actually matter. What one Pacers topic would you like to talk about right now?
Okay. You guys are incredibly smart. You guys, I mean, I'm not just saying that. I learned so much from your show. I know stuff from a fan perspective and an emotional perspective, but you guys talk on a level about the NBA that I really don't think about. You just throw out, he's a two-way this, and he's a cap level, he's a Larry Bird this, and you know, and I'm like, okay, yeah, okay. And then I kind of like Google it and say, what does that mean again? And like, I really am learning so much about like the other side of the sport. And so my question to you guys would be, I'm excited about what the Pacers did this offseason. I think they really had a good offseason for a small market team. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at them going into 2019, we've got Thad, we've got Miles Turner, we got DC coming off, and Corey Joseph all coming off the payroll, maybe. What would you guys do? What would you say we got to do? And it's hard to look, you know, especially with the Miles Turner, because I don't think he's shown his true potential. I know you guys are talking about that he's, you know, he's worth the $20 million or whatever. I'm not sure yet. I like him. I want him to be worth it, but he hasn't shown it yet. So given what you know today, if you're building the pace, if you're Kevin Pritchard, what do you guys do in 2019 to make this team a championship level team?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting, because I'm not sure how I would have personally balanced this summer, because, you know, it's great that I agree with you, what they did is great. You know, they accumulated talent, they kept flexibility alive, but at the same time, next summer, while they're going to have all this space to sign new guys, they're losing three starters. So you have to look at it on two sides of the coin, where like, they're kind of really counting on development from like one younger guy to prove that they have some solidity of a rotation before they go out and sign these other guys. But I think if my first step would be, You know, if either Bojan or DC or both shows that, you know, they have something left in the tank, I think I'd try to bring one of them back just because they clearly fit well and it'd be a not super expensive starter. And then whichever one of those two I don't bring back, I'd probably go all in signing someone really good at the other one's position. And in my dream world, you know, they could get a Chris Middleton or Jimmy Butler or a Tobias Harris or someone like that.
Okay, those three, who'd you want at those three?
In order, I'd want, obviously you want Jimmy Butler the most. I think clearly the best of the group. But he's also the most expensive, you know, and for him to come to a small market, like you said, they have those limitations. They have to offer him full 4-year max with the player option, you know, all the cookies that he's going to want. And, you know, he's played a bajillion minutes because he's played for Tom Thibodeau his whole career. So, you know, how much does he have left? You have to balance that kind of stuff. I'd want Middleton second just because I like his fit next to Vic a lot. And I'd want Tobias third because he's good and he could stop killing the Pacers, which I say every time I talk about him. But it depends, you know, who shows out this year and what happens development-wise. Like, this is pretty improbable, but say TJ Leaf figures out how to play professional basketball. Now you don't need a power forward anymore. Or say Aaron Holiday looks like a complete stud. Now you don't need the point guard anymore, you know. It shifts your focus. So that development could change my answer. But if you, like you said, looking at it right now, I think they have to be smart about getting one big fish and then using the rest like on piecemeal guys, because if you throw it at two big fish, now you're stuck with minimum dudes filling out your bench, and that's a scary sign since they're losing six guys. So they'll have to really hope for some development or hope someone looks really good and wants to come back. And I didn't even say Tyreek's name in there, but you know, if he looks awesome, have to bring him back because he's like the perfect second fiddle in theory for Vic. So it's gonna be interesting to see how it goes. What do you think about your question? What would you like them to do?
I would love for Miles Turner to be the player that I want him to be.
Yes.
I mean, I like the kid. I mean, I think he's got so much potential. He's a likable guy. He seems like a good citizen. I mean, he seems like a Pacer. And I want to see him grow old with the Pacers and be the guy. I'm just not sure. I thought I would see more. I know he got a little bit nicked. I just thought by this point I'd be seeing more out of him. And so I love that we need to get a stud. That's always been the Pacers' problem. We were one player short. You know, and, you know, I would break the bank on Jimmy Butler. I absolutely would. I agree with you. I think that a player like that, getting that guy, I think that guy would make a big difference on the team and push them so they could, I don't know if they could win the whole thing, but at least they're in a conversation for the Eastern Conference Finals at that point.
Yeah, another, you know, that's a star-driven league in the way, you know, all these, the team in the finals always has one or two just complete top 10 player for sure. And I think if you get Vic and another one, you're right there. You got to get it. And I, you mentioned Miles Turner too. I won't talk about that in your first question, even if regardless of what you think of his development or like his talents, if he stays the same guy, I still think they're going to keep him in restricted free agency just because that's a decently valuable player and you need a rim protector on a championship team. So I don't think there's a way that he's not back next year, but the price point and how much he improves is totally up for debate.
Right. Gotcha.
So that'll be interesting to watch, especially with Sabonis breathing down his neck. So we'll see how that goes.
I'm a big Sabo fan. I love that guy.
Me too. All right, Gary, I appreciate you being the first fan for the show.
Thanks. I love your show, man. You guys rock it.
Thank you. You know, I'll tweet at you when it comes out. And thank you big time for dropping a naked girl story on the show.
You're welcome. Sorry if I did a PG-13 show.
No, you're all good. All right, guys, our next game is coming right up, so stick around. All right, guys, round two of the fan show is here. And this time we have a Pacers Twitter legend, as I call him, even though I don't think he considers himself that. We have Colts fan Ryan, a.k.a. Ryan, whose last name I know but will not show, say on the show, but we have played Xbox together, so I have talked to him before, so we have some good speaking chemistry here. Ryan, how are you, man?
Hey, man, yeah, you know, I've carried you on Fortnite a few times, you know, it's been pretty good.
Only the younger listeners will know what that means, but
yeah, well, okay, for the older people, you know, I carried him on FIFA too, you know, we played some, we're pretty good, you know, but yeah.
He's beaten me in a fair share. But we are here to talk Pacers, not games. Although I do think it was a good gaming podcast. So Gary's story was amazing. And you have a lot to live up to. But as I like to ask all these people, Ryan, how did you become a Pacers fan?
Well, so a lot of my family's from Indiana. But, you know, I didn't really watch basketball until, you know, a few years ago, actually. So I've always been a Colts fan because my family's always been a fan of the Colts. And I saw on Twitter a lot of people watching basketball. And I actually started watching the last year of Paul George. So you can imagine how great that was. And it kind of turned me off basketball a little. And but I've also always been an IU fan. So, you know, after the Paul George trade, you know, it sucked. And I was pretty sad about it. But, you know, then we get Oladipo. And, you know, Oladipo is one of my favorite players in the league. You know, he's so athletic and he's such a good guy at IU. And so, you know, I decided to give it a chance. And this year was special. You know, Sabonis, Vic, Miles, all these guys come in. The chemistry's great, even though, you know, they haven't even played together. You know, they make a really good team together. And it was so much fun to watch. And I'm really happy to be a Pacers fan now, for sure.
It's a good time, and for those of you that don't know, because he didn't just say it, Ryan lives, I won't say the exact city, but close to where the Pacers were playing in the Eastern Conference Finals back in 2013 and 2012. So you got to see them up close and personal with the Heat.
I did, and you know, a lot of people in Miami didn't really like the Pacers at that time, so, you know, that also kind of turned me off in the Pacers, but, you know. I'm a fan now, and I'm glad to be a fan because this team is pretty freaking awesome.
It's a good time, and Gary just had a good answer to this question too because he has so much more historic knowledge than I do. But you're up now. It's what is your favorite memory of the Pacers? You can have more than one. He had a couple good ones.
Well, since I've only been a fan recently, I gotta say that very first game winner of Vic against the Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was that time where it turned around the tide for the whole team. You know, everyone felt really, you know, everyone was really uneven about the whole team and no one really was sure what was going to happen. But, you know, that game winner, it was like, man, this guy that everyone in Indiana knows, but no one really knows what to expect from him. He just hit a game winner from like 5 feet behind the 3-point line over LaMarcus Aldridge, who's 7 foot tall with probably like a 7'2", 7'3" wingspan. And, it was pretty crazy, and everyone on Twitter was freaking out because, you know, that was a crazy shot, and it just really set the tone for the whole year, I think.
Yeah, it was really awesome. That was a really fun one. I was actually at that one, which made it even more special, and I was on the baseline on the opposite end, so I got the 2K camera style view of him fading away over LaMarcus Aldridge. I thought there was no way it was going in. That thing was to the sky. That was. That might have been my favorite game winner his this year, too. I don't know. That Denver game when he just popped off was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was crazy. How were the people after the game? You know, the people, like, that were walking out? How were they saying?
I know. Everybody was just all into it, man. I
mean, in shock?
Like, how did we beat the Spurs? We swept the Spurs and got swept by the Mavs. Like, everyone just couldn't believe
it. Oh, man. What a year.
Is that you got any other ones, or is that the one for you?
I think that's the one because, you know, I recently became a fan. So that just... It's going to be in my mind for a while, for sure.
Yeah, that's a good one. And as the last question for the fan show, I don't know if I prepped you. I prepped the other two guys. We get to talk about now something that you want to talk about. Gary and I talked about cap stuff. But we can talk about anything you want, one Pacers topic.
So this is a controversial topic that I want to talk about. But, okay, hear me out here.
Okay.
I want to trade Sabonis.
Oh, okay, go ahead. Now,
I know a lot of people are going to hate me for this, okay? But here's why. I want to start off by saying I love Sabonis, okay? He sets good screens. He's awesome around the rim. He's a really good passer. He's a good rebounder. Okay, I love the guy. But in Indiana, a small market city where you're not going to pay the tax, you have to maximize your assets, okay? And in my opinion, Sabonis is just at a position where we have a better player who has a higher ceiling and fits better for the modern NBA. And I think you can use him and some other parts for this team to get, you know, a star. Not a star, maybe, but a really good second option for the offense.
Okay. You know, I think the reasoning there is good. Using him to upgrade a better position or a different position might make a lot of sense. I'm curious when you say that, do you mean trade him, like, right now? Or, like, in the future?
Well, either or. You know, I think there's a good target right now that's available, that could be available for the right price, and I think the Pacers should jump on it if they were willing to listen.
Interesting. So I think eventually that is certainly a possibility. We kind of touched on that on this week's show. But at the same time, like we also touched on this week's show, this, the pairing with Turner is really the focus of the future for the organization. And a lot of the big negatives for those two sharing the court together was when Lance was also with them. And I really do believe that the absence of Lance this year might make some confounding variables for their negatives go away. And it will make it so that lineup has more spacing, which was a big problem up there. So I think that if, you know, if it ends up working together and he can supplant Thad as a quality starter, I think you could rock with those two as the 4-5 and just say that's it.
For sure. You know, if that pairing would work, I would love it. But, you know, I think there's a lot of positives to them working, but there's also a lot of things that they have to overcome, you know. You know, Sabonis needs to develop that 3-point shot. You know, they need to figure out how to defend. You know, Miles needs to stay around the rim because he's a good rim protector. And, you know, Sabonis has to become more mobile, being able to guard those guys on the wing, which is, you know, really important in this day and age. But, I mean, if they can make it work, I definitely think it's something that the Pacers should look at.
Yeah, that's the only reason that's the reason you wouldn't trade him, obviously, is if he can work with your two established future pieces, then you want him to stick around. But I do understand the thought of trading him just because, you know, if you get a wing, even a serviceable starting wing, that might be worth it. Because when Bojan leaves next year, you know, if McDermott's not in a position to start or anything, you're in trouble. Sure. So I share that sentiment. And maybe TJ Leaf takes a huge step and we don't need Sabonis to play that.
Let's hope. Let's hope.
That is two fan shows that I've talked about TJ Leaf taking a step forward.
You know, one thing that I wanted to say, though, was I think an underrated thing is Miles Turner last year with his injury problems in the beginning of the year, and then getting supplanted by Sabonis sometimes at the end of games because, you know, Sabonis was just a better option sometimes. But I really think that that may have dug into Miles, you know, confidence a little bit and maybe the felt to him that the Pacers didn't really believe in him as much. So maybe, you know, moving Sabonis for getting a guy that, you know, fits in the starting lineup and is a better, you know, piece for the team. Maybe that shows, you know, Miles, okay, we're committed to you long term and we want you to be here for the future. You know, maybe that that also helps Miles, which I think is something that, you know, if we're going to be a contender in the future, we need Miles to pan out.
Yeah, I'm with you on all that. And I think how they handle those two guys will be kind of telling about, you know, both their timeline and their plans for the future. So that was a good topic. I appreciate you bringing on the more fan perspective on the DeMontis Sabonis situation.
Yep.
I'd be sad if they traded him. I'm a big fan.
I really like him, you know, but I just don't think in the modern NBA you can win with two big men as two of your three best players. But like you guys said on the podcast last week, you know, the Pacers could be one of the revolutionaries of making 2 6-10 guys that can shoot and can guard. One can guard on the perimeter. You know, I mean, anything can happen.
That's how you're going to keep up with the Sixers one day. All right, Ryan, thanks for coming on. What's your Twitter handle? Twitter handle for everybody?
My Twitter handle is at ColtsFanRyan. And, you know, I'm a Pacers Twitter legend. So, you know, I'm.
And Ryan is.
I follow back.
Ryan's trying to get 1,000 followers by the end of the year, and he's only 1,000. Yeah. How close are you now? What are you at?
I think I'm at some like 898. So, you know, I'm 102 away. I got a few.
Oh, you hit 900. You hit 900.
Oh, I did? Hey. Yeah.
Man. Oh, he's on his way. So, everybody, you heard it here on the show. Go follow Ryan immediately. And thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys. Ogden Pacers is awesome.
You bet. All right. And the final fan show of the day. I hope you guys like these so we can do them again next week because these are really fun for me. Oh crap, I didn't prepare saying his last name, so I'm just gonna guess here. We have Taylor Gisigi.
Giski, actually. Oh, I know,
not even close.
I know. Hey, you're not the first, you won't be the last. So
you should have prepared that. That's embarrassing.
No,
Taylor is our third and final guest of today's show to talk about the Pacers fan experience. He's on Twitter at Taylor. Gonna get it wrong again. It's Giesige 48 after Taylor. And his pinned tweet has 74 retweets, which is more than I've ever gotten in my life. So, highly recommended you go follow him. But he is here now to close out our first fan show. First of all, how are you, man? Are you doing
good? I'm great. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It's been storming all day here. But I'm glad the day's almost over. And I'm glad it's not 1,000 degrees this time.
I know. Week's almost half over, so we're getting there.
Hump day coming in hot. If you're listening, it is hump day, so congratulations. We all made it. All right, Taylor, you're getting the same first question as everybody else. How did you become a Pacers fan?
So, yeah, I actually am new to the Pacers wagon. I've actually only been a fan for about, I don't know, going on a year now. So I was actually in Indianapolis with a couple of my buddies, and we were in town for football game. I'm a Steelers fan, and they're playing the Colts. And we went to the game, and afterwards we were over at Kilroy's after the game getting a bite to eat. Shout out Kilroy's in Indianapolis, Indiana. And there's a whole bunch of people in there wearing Pacers gear, and we didn't really have anything to do. And we were like, oh, I wonder if they're playing. And sure enough, we looked on our phones, and they were. And I was like, well, what do you guys think? You want to go to the game or whatever? Just check it out. And we looked, and they're playing the Rockets. So we were like, at the very least, you know, we'd go and watch James Harden. And so we went to the game, and I was blown away with Victor Oladipo. Like, I'm an Ohio State fan. I'm from Ohio. So I remember watching him play the Buckeyes, and just he was always the, you know, high-energy guy he is now. But I think that game he outplayed pretty much everybody in the entire game other than, I'd say, Clint Capela. And I was just – from then on, I was like, okay, I mean, I'll keep an eye on the team, just see what they're doing. And probably a month went by, and I was watching games when I could. And I was sitting around again with my buddies, and we were watching them play the Cavs, you know, again, being from Ohio. All my friends are Cavs fans, so, you know, it's kind of fun to root against your buddies. And it was the game that Victor kind of just took over at the end and had his step back over Kevin and iced the game at the end. And I was just like, okay, I'm all in. I'm sold. And ever since then, I watched pretty much every game I could. I'd say 80% of the games after that I was able to tune in.
That's pretty good. I think that's more than most people who
yeah, I tried to watch them every chance I could get.
Yeah, you mentioned Ohio State in there. I'm sorry right now your time is yucky.
I know. It's sore subject, but we'll see how
I don't know if I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. we'll see how that all shakes out.
Yeah, tough time to be an Ohio State fan.
Yeah, you know, Ohio State too. I was hoping Cato would fall to us at 50. I couldn't believe it.
I know that's well. I'm a huge Mike Conley guy, so that's the only thing I think about Ohio State my entire life I've ever liked is Mike Conley.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's special when he's healthy.
Indianapolis native Mike Conley and Indianapolis native Greg Oden went there, so two good ones. But so, yeah. Oh, go ahead. You got to
know. No, sorry. Nope. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. It's hard doing these shows with fans for me because I have like the chemistry with Adam, you know, we're just bouncing.
Right.
On.
Yeah, absolutely.
But okay. Well, it seems like you, like Ryan, who went before you, are going to have your favorite Pacers memories be more recent than most.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't have a ton to choose from, but I'd say my favorite memory so far was probably game three of the Cavs series in the playoffs here.
The Boyan game?
Yep, absolutely. That's what I was going to say. Boyan just kind of taking over. And again, me and all of us around here, my group that I hang out with, we're all big basketball heads. So I was watching that game in a group of probably 15 Cavs fans around me. So I was awfully quiet in the first half. And then when Boyan pulled up for his 30-foot heat check at the end there, I pretty much just I erupted, but the rest of the room was silent.
That was the craziest shot of the game.
Oh my gosh, I still go back and watch it. Just how he looked up at the clock to see he had what 3.5 seconds left on the shot clock and just pulled. It was incredible.
I was at that game with John Fillet, who was writing for Nuvo at the time, and they were down like 15 or something at halftime, 18, a lot,
something like that.
They have these skyline windows for some reason in a basketball stadium in Bankers Life, and they opened them at halftime because it was like finally like not 10 degrees outside. And they opened them at halftime, and I was like, John, if the Pacers come back, it's not because of anything other than the fact that they opened them. And sure enough, they came back and won. I was like, well, they got to leave the windows open the rest of the day.
I was getting texts from guys that live, you know, a couple hours away from Cleveland I went to college with, and they're just giving me crap the entire first half. And then as soon as I think when Boyan hit a shot, it was what I think we were up maybe 8, and I didn't send a text back just yet. I didn't want to speak out of pocket, but as soon as the clock hit 000s, I was immediately making phone calls. it didn't work out for me in the end, but hey, I was riding high at the moment.
You gotta take your shots when you can.
Right, exactly.
That's a good one. Do you have any other good moments? I know we're talking about one season here, but
right. I don't know. I mean, I'd say even just game six, just after game five, they went down, and I think somebody said something to Victor in the post game, and he's just like, "What? Are we down 4-0? And just, are we down four games yet? Sorry." And they said, "No." He's like, "Okay, well, then we got two more to come back." I just the way he kind of evolved and the swagger that I saw out of him is just, I don't know. I'm excited for this year. I think we have good things coming.
It's going to be a fun one. It is going to be a fun one. And that's a good one. I remember how emotional he was after that game five. And he showed it in game six.
The entire team did. It was that was probably the most fun I've ever watched, to be honest. Just even though it was a blowout, but that's probably what made it so much fun.
Yeah, it was a good one. And now our final thing for these fan shows. And this could be fun for you because you're in Ohio. And I don't know what the pulse of the Ohio Pacers fan is. So this is good. What do you want to talk about? We can talk about anything.
I guess I don't know. I don't have many people to ask, I guess, Pacers wise around here. Well, I mean, cause you know, everybody's either a Cavs fan or a Lakers fan now, it seems like, where I'm from. And, but I was just going to ask, like, what do you think a realistic time frame for us being title contenders would be? Like, I mean, in the time frame of the Victor contract, the McMillan extension, do you think there's a realistic shot of the Pacers making a finals appearance at the very least?
I think go ahead. Keep going.
Sorry, because I think, I don't know, I obviously when I talk about it with my friends, I say, I think in 3 years in Victor's final year in the contract, I think we're going to be right there in the East, just the way it's shaking out right now. Obviously anything could happen, but they all tell me I'm crazy. So I don't know. I just wanted to see another Pacers fan perspective.
No, that is the year I was going to pick before you said anything. So that's good. This year's kind of like a baseline kind of show free agents. Like, look how good we are. If you come here, you can get us their thing. And then next year they'll bring Miles back on his extension. They'll hopefully get, you know, two good stud free agents and have a real solid starting five. I mean, that's when they'll be really good, and then give them 1 year to, you know, blend together. 2020, Vic's last year, McMillan's last year. I think that's the year two on the current core, but of course they could extend Vic, you know, they could draft someone great. You know, if Holiday turns out to be something, that helps them so much with free agency too. So, you know, there's a lot of factors that point to it being the last year of Vic's current deal, especially because he's at a below market rate right now.
But I
agree with you. I think 3 years is the way to look, because once he starts soaking up more of the cap room, which he'll deserve it. So, like,
you have to give it to Max. Yeah,
I said it sounded negative the way I just phrased it, but
I know exactly what you mean though. Yeah, I think this year, if they, I know it might be a long shot this year, but I'm hoping for a conference finals appearance. I know that's a long shot, but that would really make it more appealing for the Jimmy Butlers of the world, I think, and that's, I mean, that could obviously go a long way there. So
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree with you. I think, I mean, if their goal is 2020, then the free agent pitch needs to be, you know, look how close we got this year. Like, we were
right, especially with all the. Sorry.
No, you're good. But you know, it's like we were this close to the finals. Imagine if we had you instead of whatever TJ Leaf in the rotation.
Oh gosh, yeah. I know. It's with all the because with 19 being the free agent boom, and what I think we're going to have probably room for close to two maxes. I know that's not going to be two maxes. It's going to be spread out a little bit, but I think that's going to be the year to scoop up some of them guys. And then that 2019-2020 season is going to be hopefully the one, but who knows?
Yeah. I like that question. Me and Adam should talk about that ourselves. That's a good one.
Yeah. Hey, I'm always down to chat Pacers.
Yeah. These fan shows will be a thing for probably the rest of the month. So if we run out of people, we'll have to just circle back to old people.
Hey, I'm always here for that.
Awesome. Well, you're in Ohio, so enjoy Ohio.
Yeah, for what there is to enjoy, we'll try.
Ohio State is my least favorite sports anything.
Oh, I get it though. I hear that all the time from. Well,
sorry.
Whenever around here,
the Ohio State is my
Ohio State University. Correct. Well, I'm a Toledo alum, so I didn't go there, but.
Oh.
You know,
go Rockets.
Rockets, yes, go Rockets, indeed.
There you go. I like that one. All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on, man.
Hey, yeah, it was awesome. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, have a great night, and you can listen to yourself tomorrow.
Hey, that'll be something. All right. Hey, take it easy, Tony.